hot dog. So I did think about, if I'm up there again, I ought to take the family to that place. And if you're up there, you'll probably want to look it up. And Stan was laughing. The church is actually a combination of the two that you mentioned. So the name of First Bible Baptist Church, but it's a mouthful, and it took me a while to get it to be able to say it in one breath. Anyway, all right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to get in the scriptures for a little while this evening. Luke chapter 11. Let me read to you from verse number 1 in Luke chapter number 11. Luke 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that he was praying, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the midweek service. Thank you for each and every person that has made their way out to come to hear from the Word of God tonight. I pray for your blessing as the Word of God is spoken. I pray that you let it have free course. May it do its work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, help us to be able to latch on to something tonight from the Scriptures that will make our lives different for thy sake in a good way. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 11, the verse that we read in verse number 1, I'll read it again. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, and that's Jesus, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. It's interesting, isn't it? The disciples had been with Jesus through a lot of different things. They had seen and heard him do a lot of different things. They had heard him preach. But nowhere in the scriptures is it recorded that any of the disciples ever said, Lord, teach us to preach. They had seen him do miracles. But nowhere in the scriptures is it written that any of the disciples had ever stopped and said, Lord, teach us to do miracles. They'd heard him teach. But nowhere do you read where any of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to teach. And yet here, they were around while he was praying, and when he ceased, that is, he finished the prayer, one of the disciples was so moved and so impressed by hearing him pray that he said, Lord, teach us to pray. After this, Jesus would give them some lessons on prayer in Luke chapter 11. But what I want to point out by way of introduction is that there are things, according to this, that can be taught and can be learned about prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray, or the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. John had taught his disciples something about prayer, so John taught about subject that his disciples had learned something. And they wanted Jesus to teach about it so they could learn something, and Jesus then followed up by teaching about it. So there are things that can be taught and things that can be learned about prayer. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is talk to you about some prayers that every Christian needs to learn to pray. I want to just take a few moments this evening, and this is a prayer meeting night. Wednesday night is typically. And so as we think and approach the subject of prayer, if we have time and pray together tonight, and certainly if you don't hear as a group, what you'll do is you'll pray somewhere along the lines before you come to church next time, right? Or not, but hopefully after the service is done tonight, you'll be motivated to do such. But as we think about the subject of prayer and come to Wednesday night prayer meeting night, let's just take a few moments and I want to just bring out from the scriptures some prayers that every Christian needs to learn to pray. There are, I believe, prayers such as that we all need to learn to pray. And the Bible indicates a number of them. And so let me just take a little bit of time, and as the Lord gives us time, take you through as many of them as I can this evening. And the first one I'm going to begin with and point out is every Christian needs to learn to pray the prayer for wisdom. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. If you're here in Sunday school, that's what we spoke about in Sunday school. So I'm not going to belabor this point. But just by way of maybe giving you a mini booster shot, let me bring out something that I didn't bring out about the subject on Sunday morning and remind you that we ought to pray for wisdom. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. 2 Chronicles 1. I did bring out, as you turn to 2 Chronicles, I did bring out James chapter 1, verse number 5, where James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So there is an indication that you ought to pray for wisdom. We talked about praying for it from Proverbs chapter 2 as well. But I did not bring out this example of praying for wisdom that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Now, just to set the stage, in verse number 6, Solomon goes up to the brazen altar, and he offers, it says, 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And then in verse number 7, it says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Now, what if God approached you and said, go ahead and ask me for whatever you want? Number one, you know he could do it. Number two, the indication is that he told that told that to Solomon in such a way that God was going to do whatever Solomon asked for. It's like God giving Solomon a blank check in prayer and say, go ahead, you fill out the amount. You put in there what you want me to do for you in prayer, and I am fixing to do it. That's in the Hebrew. But he said something, you know, you get the gist of it. So here he is, and he appears to Solomon, and he said, ask what I shall give thee. What if God did that to you? What do you think you'd ask for? Again, don't answer out loud. You might be, your speech may betray you. But what is it that you would ask for? You know what probably comes to a lot of people's mind, and maybe not you, but probably comes to a lot of people's mind, is a certain dollar amount. We tend to think, if I could ask God for anything, money would solve all my problems. And let me just tell you, money might solve some of your problems, but it's not going to solve all your problems. And it may create more problems than it solves when it's all said and done. But so Solomon is approached by God and says, ask what I shall give thee. And then Solomon begins, and it says in verse number 8, and Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Verse number 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? The first thing in the form of a request that Solomon made when God said, ask what I shall give thee, is give me wisdom. That gels with Proverbs 4:7 that we brought out last Sunday morning, where wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It was on the top of the list of the things that he asked for. He asked God for wisdom. And the Lord did what he said later on that he would do in James chapter 1 and verse number 5. He gave it to him. Look at verse number 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor. See, these are the things that people would normally say. Give me lots of money. Give me lots of wealth. Give me honor and fame and fortune. And he says, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. He said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And P.S., he got a bonus. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. And in this was fulfilled another scripture that had not yet been recorded for us in the Bible. It would come along in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We spend too much time seeking after the things instead of seeking after the Lord. You seek the Lord first, and the things will take care of themselves. But here's the prayer that Solomon prayed, first and foremost, was, give me now wisdom. So just by way of remembrance and hitting this one more time, a prayer that every Christian needs to learn to pray is the prayer for wisdom. We need it for every day of our life, for all the choices we make, all the responsibilities that we've got. We need this thing that God calls wisdom. So pray for it. Put it up there toward the top of your prayer list, to ask God regularly for wisdom. All right, let me get into the second thing. Go to Psalm 119. The next thing I'm going to bring out is not completely unrelated to what we just mentioned, but stated in a little different way and then a little more specifically, zeroing in on a point. We read in Psalm 119, verse 18, excuse me, 119, Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Second prayer you need to learn to pray as a Christian, as a child of God, every Christian ought to learn to pray this, is the prayer for open eyes. The prayer for open eyes. The psalmist put it like this, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, to some people, you take this Bible, and when he says that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that's what he's talking about, the Word of God. Whenever God speaks, his word is law. It's part of the scriptures. One time I read where Jesus said, it is written in thy law. And he made a quotation from the Old Testament. But you know when he quoted from the Old Testament? He didn't quote from the Old Testament section that we call the law. He quoted from the Old Testament section that we call the Psalms. And so any park, while there is that section of law in there, the truth is, whatever God says is law. He speaks laws into existence. And as we pray, we learn to pray this prayer, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's a prayer for God to open up our eyes and show us things from the Word of God, from the Scriptures. And to many people, the honest truth is, the Bible is just a bunch of black words on a white page. Makes them dizzy. They get sick to their stomach when they try to read it sometimes. Do you know there's somebody who doesn't want you to read the Bible? And he'll attack you any way he can. Some people feel like they get car sick when they're reading the Bible, even if they're not riding in the car. The devil doesn't want you in that book. You know, it's like you've got to learn to press through these things. Don't give up. Just keep on going because you need what's in the Scriptures. To some folks, it's just like that, a bunch of dizzy words on black words on white pages. And tonight, listen, if the Bible's like that to you, if the Bible is to you, if you're just honest with yourself, if it is to you a dead book, then you especially need to learn to pray to the Lord and ask Him to open your eyes and help you behold wondrous things out of His law. You need God to open up your eyes and make this book come alive to you. You need it. And if it's dead to you, you don't have to confess it to me tonight. Be honest with yourself. To some people, that's what the Bible's like. Now, they know they ought to read it. They know it's the Word of God. They know it's precious and special. But when they open it up, it's just hard. And they don't seem to get anything out of it. Do you know there's nothing special about me as a human being that's more special than you? I think God gives us all different talents, abilities, and gifts. But when it comes to who can get wisdom and who can learn something from this book or who can't, we all start on a level playing field. I mean, again, some people may be gifted to grasp it more, but I'm saying God said if any of you lack wisdom, anybody can ask God to open their eyes. Nothing more special about me or anybody else that makes me have a right to learn more from the Bible than you. That's the truth. You can have God show you things. There's nothing quite as sweet as opening up that book and reading it and finding something in the Scriptures, seeing something that you never seen before. I mean, you may have read the verse before, but it comes out, it comes alive, it means something to you, it helps you, and you haven't heard anybody else teach it or preach it, and sometimes you might have to check with the pastor to make sure you saw it right. People can see some things in the Bible that aren't even there, but when it washes, amen, then there's nothing sweet, nothing quite as sweet like God giving you something from His Word. You know, He's willing to do that for you. You ought to ask Him to. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let me say this, even if the Bible is already alive to you, you still ought to pray this prayer. I learned to pray this prayer by the grace of God early on in my Christian life. I was reading a little pamphlet, I think it was, about how to understand the Bible, if I remember correctly. And in there, it had this prayer. It just quoted Psalm 119, verse 18. It probably said something about it. I took it seriously. I began to pray this prayer before I read my Bible. I would pray, and I'd say it to the Lord, and I'd mean it. It was my prayer. I'd learned it from the Scriptures, but I made it my prayer. And I'd say, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It wasn't a vain repetition. It was from my heart. And I'd ask God, and I believed it, and I believed He would. And I believe it so much that sometimes I'd be reading along, and I'd get stuck on a place, and it wouldn't make any sense, and I'd stop right there. And I would pray and ask the Lord to open my eyes and help me to understand it. And to help me to behold wondrous things out of His law. And sometimes the Lord would give me light right then and there. Other times the light might come later on. What I'm saying is, folks, if you want to understand this book, I know somebody that understands it. The author. And who better to teach you what it means than Him? So go ahead and ask Him. Go ahead and ask Him. Look with me in Genesis 21, a little illustration of this point. Genesis chapter 21. And in Genesis 21, look at verse 14. Genesis 21, verse 14. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. This was not a good time for Hagar and her child. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. Watch verse 19. You got a little background? Watch 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. What's so remarkable about that story to me is here she was, she had cast off, her water bottle was empty, she cast it off, she laid down, cast the child on one of the shrubs, and she's down there crying. It's like she's waiting for them both of them, her and the baby, to die. And what the Lord did, the Bible says, was he opened her eyes and showed her a well of water. Now, it didn't say that he just, on the spot, created a well of water. He said he opened her eyes. That means that well of water was there the whole time. But she didn't see it until God opened her eyes. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water and went and filled the bottle. You know what I learned from that? You take that and apply that to the Bible. Setting in that book that's before you tonight are countless wells waiting to refresh and revive your soul and your spirit and your heart, waiting to bring strength to your famished being. And what you need is for God to open up your eyes and show you those wells so that you can go over and take drink from them and be strengthened. So while you're reading your Bible, or as you approach your Bible reading, go ahead and ask God to open your eyes. Learn to pray the prayer for open eyes. Paul was blinded right after he got saved, and there came a time when the Lord took the scales off of his eyes. Some of you, as you read the Bible, it's like your eyes are holding and you can't see. There's scales on them. As you pray, God can open the eye, open those eyes. Through prayer, maybe tears, the Lord will anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. So learn to pray the prayer for open eyes. All right, let me mention a third thing. This is not a real unfamiliar prayer, but one that every Christian needs to pray nonetheless, and that is the prayer of confession. You probably know the verse. Many of you could quote it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where the Lord says, If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Lord tells us in that verse right there that we are to confess our sins to him. Let me check out something real quick, make sure. If we confess our 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural, and it cleanses from all unrighteousness. That makes more sense because we got more than one, doesn't it? And so God's here telling us to confess. Now, what is to confess? To confess is to admit to something. When a person confesses to a crime, they admit that they have committed that crime. And in confession, what you are to do to God is to admit to him what you've done against him. In so doing, you tell him what you've done, and you go ahead and you name the sin. You speak it. You go ahead and pronounce it. You tell them. You know, when you get to praying and confessing your sins, and it's a good idea, folks, to get along with God somewhere to do this, where nobody else can hear you, and do this out loud. Because when you start saying what you've done out loud in regard to your sin, you begin to see it in a whole different light. It doesn't look as cute. It doesn't look as pretty. You begin to see it as God sees it. It looks awful, and it looks ugly. And you ought to learn to confess those sins to God. Don't avoid confessing particular sins either by just giving a blanket confession, something like, Lord, just forgive me of all my sins. Don't avoid confessing them in particular. We commit our sins in particular, and they ought to be confessed in particular. So learn to pray, if you haven't, the prayer of confession. There's a movement around. It's been around for several years, and I don't know if it's made its way through here. I hope it never does. But there's a movement around, and sometimes some Baptist churches, where this teaching goes on that Christians don't need to confess their sins. It is a foolish and a stupid thing not to confess your sins to God. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But if you don't judge yourself, then the Lord's going to judge you. You've got sins. You can confess them. You don't need to confess your sins once you're saved in order to get to heaven. But you need to confess them to have good fellowship with God. If you don't confess them, it'll put a breach in the relationship between you and your God. And by confessing them, you're coming clean with them. And that's what God wants from you. He wants an honest and an open heart. So don't try to hoodwink the Lord. He can't be hoodwinked. Right. Confess those sins. You done them, you confess them. Say, which ones should I confess? Any ones you haven't confessed yet?
Yeah.
All right, that'll keep you busy for a while.
Yeah.
Again, not completely unrelated to this, let me give you another prayer. You ought to also learn to pray the prayer for mercy. The prayer for mercy. I don't know, but the Lord's got all the statistics, but my guess would be that the two prayers that I pray the most are the prayers for wisdom and the prayer for mercy. Not always in that order. Why do you pray for mercy? There's been enough things in the past that I could get whipped for, and I don't want to get whipped. And occasionally they crop up in the present, and I don't want to get whipped. I pray the prayer for mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not receiving the punishment that we deserve for sin. Thank God that we don't. If you received every punishment that you deserve for sin, number one, you would be dead and in hell already.
Right.
The wages of sin is death. You'd have died physically right then when you sinned and then gone to the second death, ultimately the lake of fire. But God's merciful. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it describes it like this. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. In other words, judgment would have gotcha, but mercy rejoiced against it. And then because of God's mercy, you didn't get the judgment that you should have gotten. So mercy is us not receiving the punishment that we deserve for sins. How about this? Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Now, do you know what God has done for you tonight? He has punished you less than your iniquities deserve.
Right.
Amen. Do you know what you're going to want the Lord to do for you either in the present and or future? You're going to want him to punish you less than your iniquities deserve. Learn to pray the prayer for mercy. I'm talking to you as a saved child of God tonight. Learn to pray the prayer for mercy. If you're saved, you're still going to need mercy. What does he say? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy first and grace to help in time of need. So pray the prayer for mercy. And tonight, if you're here and you've not been born again, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to learn to pray the prayer for mercy. You need to pray as the publican did, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you is what you need. So mercy, again, is us not receiving the punishment we deserve for sin, and that's something that we all need to learn to pray for, to come boldly to that throne of grace and ask the Lord for mercy, to ask him for mercy. In Luke chapter 18 and verse number 13, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how the publican prayed. All right, let me give you something else. Go to Psalm 19, the book of Psalms in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and look down with me in Psalm 19 to verse 13. Psalm 19, verse 13, where you read these words, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Let me stop right there. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. All right, I'll tell you a prayer that every Christian would benefit from learning to pray and to pray from his heart would be what I'm going to call the prayer of prevention. The prayer of prevention. What's he praying? He's praying for the Lord to keep him back from presumptuous sins. He's asking God, before he sinned, to keep him back from committing a sin. In other words, instead of waiting till you mess up, why not ask God to help to keep you from messing up? Why not ask the Lord to help you to keep from messing up before you mess up? Learning to pray this prayer could keep you from having to pray the prayer of confession and the prayer of mercy so much. Amen? I mean, it's much better to prevent an accident than to try to clean up after one.
Right.
All right? Much better to try to prevent a problem than have to fix it after it's messed up. Same thing in prayer. Here's David. You need to understand the nature of this prayer. He says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. At that point, he's not committed a sin of presumption right then and there. He's concerned that in the future he might. in the future he's concerned, maybe he'll he will presume upon the mercy of God, as God had given him the sure mercies of David. Maybe he's concerned about that. Now, then, so before he does anything like that, he's saying, Lord, would you help me keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins? Interesting prayer. I mean, it's my responsibility to keep myself back from sin. It was David's responsibility to keep himself back from sin. And yet, here he is praying, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. I don't know if you ever stopped and thought about this, but again, what we are reading is an actual prayer that David prayed. He prayed this. And then God recorded it and put it in the scriptures. The Bible is filled with the records of prayers that actual people prayed. Now, why do you reckon the Lord did that? He did that to teach you how to pray. The greatest book on prayer in the world is the Bible. The greatest book on prayer. I've read books on prayer, and they can be helpful. And I've learned things from them. But I have never learned more about prayer from any other book than the scriptures. And when God records a prayer in the scriptures, he puts it there to teach you how to pray. And sometimes he teaches you other things from that prayer as well. Some prayers he'll teach you doctrine. But first and foremost, on a practical level, folks, he's trying to show you how to communicate with him. So what I do is I pay attention, obviously, to instructions in the Bible about prayer, but also to the prayers that people pray so that I can learn something. So this here is said to be a Psalm of David. David's going along here and talking, and then he gets to verse 13, and he's talking to God. Keep back thy servant. That's David talking to the Lord, also from presumptuous sins. Why is God put in there? Well, David learned to pray that, and God put in there so I could learn to pray that way. So I like to pray ahead of time, before I mess up, for God to keep me from messing up. Even though it's my responsibility, David didn't hesitate to go ahead and ask for assistance. In fact, he said, Lord, you keep me back from it. That's a pretty good prayer to pray. You ought to learn to pray the prayer of prevention, the prayer of prevention, preventive type prayers. Learn to pray along those lines. If you're in Psalms, go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, a somewhat more familiar portion of Scripture, is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And we're going to call this prayer the prayer for probing. The prayer for probing. Let's read it, and then I'll explain. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a probing prayer. What is a probe? A probe, by definition, is a searching investigation. To probe, by definition, using it as a verb, is to investigate thoroughly. In Psalm 139, the last two verses, David is praying a prayer that does just that. David is praying a prayer that is a searching investigation. He's saying, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have a searching investigation on me. I want you to probe me, Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It's the type of prayer that David's praying. It's a prayer that asks God to do some probing of your innermost being. To pray for the Lord to search, and you tell him and talk to him. For example, you that have children, or you could just imagine this, even if you don't. My children, there's things that I know about them by observation. There's things that I can see and I can know and understand. I may even know about some things going on in their life. But there's a difference when they come and talk to me about those things. Now what I know is not just kind of aloof in an observation. Now I know it on a more intimate level because they've let me in on it. And it deepens our relationship, and it also allows me at times to enter in to help them with that situation better than I might have been able to otherwise. It works the same way with God. You ought to let the Lord in on every part of your life. There ought to be no rooms inside that you keep locked. You ought to have the key to every room. You ought to let him in and ask him, go ahead, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to probe me. I want you to know me. And I want you, Lord, to see if there be any wicked way in me and then lead me in the way everlasting. Would you be willing for God to show you if there's things that he doesn't like inside of you in your life? I'll tell you why folks might not pray this, because they're afraid what the Lord might find. Some of them are afraid what he might ask for. Look, give God more credit. Your Father in heaven knows what's best for you.
Right.
Go ahead and let him search you. If there's something in there he wants out, it's only because it's hurting you. There might be something that he wants in there that isn't in there. Folks, just trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What this probing prayer does, let me just read you, and I'll finish that thought. But I won't ask you to turn there, but I'm just going to read you from Psalm 19. Again, I was just there and I read you verse 13. In verse number 12, the psalmist had said this. David said, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." The idea of that being, Lord, I may have sinned against you and not even known it. So cleanse me from those things that I've done wrong that I don't even know I've done wrong. And what this prayer in Psalm 139 does is it takes that prayer that I just read you from Psalm 19, verse 12, and it takes it to another level. For not only is this prayer seeking cleansing, which he is, see if there be any wicked way in me. He wants to be searched. He wants to be tried. Not only is it going along those lines, but the Psalm 139 prayer is taking it and saying, not only, Lord, do I want you to cleanse me from the secret faults, I want you to show me what those secret faults are. Now, you could pray and say, Lord, cleanse me from secret faults. That's an example. But you can take it a step further and go, Lord, go ahead and show me what's in there. That might be a frightening prayer to pray. Lord, show me. You remember that old song, that old Christian song, "Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes"? Anybody ever hear that one? Anybody? It's a good song, and you might want to dig it up and sing it. Great. But could you pray and say to the Lord, Lord, let me see what I look like through your eyes? He can show you one day. Wouldn't it be better for him to show you now so you get prepared for the judgment? Because if you get straightened out now, he won't have to straighten you out when you get up there.
Yeah.
The prayer for probing. Again, David said to cleanse thou me from secret faults. This prayer takes it to another level for the Lord to show you those secret faults. Why? So that then you can confess them and get them right and make the adjustment. All right, let me say briefly. Another prayer that we ought to learn how to pray, and this is one again that's not this is not really an obscure one. This is one that you already ought to know. But let me hit it. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't make mention of it. You ought to learn to pray the prayer for thanksgiving, or the prayer of thanksgiving. You ought to learn to thank God for things. For the Christian, Thanksgiving should not be a holiday that's celebrated once a year. It should be more than that. It should be a way of life. Amen. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Listen, as you're going to God in prayer, into the gates and the courts of heaven, you ought to come with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter into his courts into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. You ought to learn to start your prayers with thanksgiving and then spend some time in prayer thanking God. It's an overlooked thing. So overlooked that when Jesus, remember, cleansed the 10 lepers, what happened? Only one of them came back to thank him and give glory to God. And so you ought to learn to incorporate thanksgiving into your prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I go to God with the request, I ought to also come with thanksgiving. Don't forget to thank him. And every day, you ought to spend some time thanking God in prayer. Then let me give you another one. Hebrews, go to Hebrews 10. Let me show you something in Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse 36, where it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Let me focus in on that first line. "For ye have need of patience." Now, I just quote you from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication, as you make supplication, you look at the root of that, it's like our word supply. It's supplication. We're asking God to supply something for us. A little bit later on in Philippians chapter 4, it said, "But my God shall supply all your need." Well, prior to the Lord supplying, he told them they ought to pray about it. In everything by prayer and supplication. If then I have a need, I ought to pray for that need. Ask God to supply it. That's making supplication. Well, here's something that I have a need of. And he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for you have need of patience. You have need of patience. So here's what I'm going to suggest to you. I'm going to suggest that every Christian needs to learn to pray the prayer for patience. Now, I don't know, maybe somebody's thinking what a lot of Christians think and have vocalized about it. Some Christians are afraid to pray for patience because of the fact that the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Right? We kind of make a joke out of it, but you know what? It really scares a lot of people from praying for patience. Here's what they're afraid. If I pray for patience, then God's going to send tribulation so that I can have patience. Can I let you in on a little secret? Whether you pray for patience or whether you don't, you're going to have tribulation. So how do you know that? Jesus said it. He said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. No, he didn't say in the world you shall have tribulation if you pray for patience. In the world ye shall have tribulation. This isn't heaven yet. You notice that, right? Okay? So down here you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some trials and tribulations and difficulties. They're going to come whether or not you pray for patience. So as long as they're going to come, why not pray for patience to get through them? I pray for patience, and I'm not afraid to. I mean, I need patience. God said I need it. You have need of patience, so if I'm going to have tribulation, I may as well just pray for patience to get through it. Learn to pray the prayer for patience. I learned this prayer. I probably didn't learn to pray it, you know, until after I was saved, but I learned the prayer for patience before I was saved as I was growing up. I learned the prayer for patience from my mother. I heard her pray for it often. This was a prayer that she would pray. God, give me patience with these kids. That's a true story. All I know is we're still alive, so it worked. So learn to pray the prayer for patience. You're going to need it in many walks, many facets of your walks in life. All right, right quick, I'm going to give you just a few more real quick, and I want you to be able to remember these. What I'm giving you folks tonight, whether you realize it or not, are something that if you'll remember them, it'll help you to fill your prayer time. You know, some Christians go to prayer and they don't know what to pray for. They get down and pray, and they think, well, I'm going to pray, I'm going to have a good prayer time in 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, minute and a half. They don't. There are other things to pray. Why don't you prepare to go in to pray to God? I mean, you're coming into the presence of royalty, and if you don't know what you're going to say, go ahead and make some notes. And what I'm telling you is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm telling you particular things that you can pray when you go in prayer. And if you can have this as a guide or other things that you find in the scriptures about prayer, that'll remind you when you're down to praying of something to pray for. When I get up to speak to people, I have notes to remind me what I want to say to them. And so if I'm going to speak to God and I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about and I'm afraid I can't keep the conversation going, then I might make some notes to get in there before him and know what to pray for. Learn to pray this prayer as well. Learn to pray the prayer for help. We won't turn there for time's sake, but in Psalm 12:1, I love how it starts. It says simply this, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Goes on to say, for the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. But those two words is a prayer that I've learned to pray. Help, Lord. Say, when do you pray that? Whenever I need help. Well, it might seem to go without saying this is a prayer you need to learn to pray. You know what? Preacher, I'm sure you've run into this. People are strange when it comes to this subject. Seems like they'll do, when they got a problem, they'll do anything but pray. And they'll dance around it. They'll talk to you for hours about it, or they'll talk to other people about it. Or they'll try this, try the other thing, and it comes down. Well, have you gotten down and just prayed and poured this thing out to God? No. And then you go, why? And you get a variety of answers about that. Some people are so ultra spiritual. They say this. Well, I don't pray for myself. Yeah. I pray for others. You get that? Yeah. You know what you are? Go ahead and guess. You're not very smart. That's a polite way of saying it. All right. I pray for myself. Okay? You say, why? You think I'm going to trust you to do it? I don't trust anybody else to pray for me. Now, folks do pray for me. And I'm thankful. That's a bonus. But I am not going to leave the responsibility of my needs in prayer on the shoulders of anybody else but me. I'll make prayer requests from time to time, and I know people do pray for me. I'm very thankful for it, and it's a benefit to me. But I am going to pray for myself because there's some things I know that I need, and one of them is help. That's where this thing comes in from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes people, in their time of need, they'll be afraid to pray. They'll think, well, you know what? I really wasn't right with God before this need came and this trouble came. And I don't want to just come and pray to Him when I'm in trouble. I should have been praying Him all along. Okay, well, start now. Okay? Don't not pray now because you didn't pray back then. Two wrongs don't make a right. You're going to have to start somewhere. You may as well start right now. You're in trouble. And I love the verse. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look, you got a need, that's the time to pray. God told you you could. Right. You just got to believe Him. Amen. You have to open your Bible when you're down on your knees beside your bed to Hebrews 4:16 and look over the verse and read it and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this by faith. I don't feel like I've been very good. I don't feel like I deserve to come, but I'm going to come to you in Jesus' name because you told me I could come boldly. Oh, God, help, Lord. I mean, be serious in prayer. Be earnest, be fervent. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right? Right quick. Next, learn also to pray the prayer for direction. Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When you have a decision to make, ask God for direction. He said if you'd acknowledge Him, that He would direct your paths. You take that verse right there. 12 words, I believe. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Six words here. And He shall direct thy paths. Six words here. Divided, 12 words divided right in half, your part and God's part. Your part is to acknowledge Him in all your ways. So you do that. His job is to direct your paths. You do your part, then let God do His. You just make sure you've prayed about that decision. You pray about the choices that you've got to make in life. Paul would say it this way. He'd say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What's he asking for? Direction. So learn to pray the prayer for direction. And then finally, learn to pray the prayer of surrender. The Lord Jesus taught you how. When in the garden, he'd pray along these lines, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. Not my will be done, but thy will. You learn to pray the prayer of surrender, where you give yourself over to God, lock, stock, and barrel. Every area of your life, you surrender it to Him. And maybe you have to do it in shifts. Okay, maybe one day you give this much, and you just don't feel like you can give it all. Work your way till you can give it all. Okay, work your way till you can just let it go. Again, your Heavenly Father knows best. You need to learn to trust Him. So pray the prayer of surrender. Isaiah would pray it this way. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Listen, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Have you given it all to Him? Have you laid it down on the altar? Some folks are afraid to pray, Lord, here am I, send me. You're afraid if you pray that, He might send you to the darkest jungles on the other side of the world someplace. You pray, here am I, send me. You know where He might send you? He might send you to witness to that lost soul. You know the one I'm talking about? Some of you know the one I'm talking about. And if you don't, you're going to find out. Some of you are going to find out. You'll remember this when that lost soul comes along and the Lord's impressing upon you to witness to Him. And you surrender to Him and say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll just give you my all. Send me. Send me. He might just send you across the street to witness to somebody. He might send you to come out on church visitation. He might send you to join the church when they go out evangelizing. It might not be so way out there as we think it is. It all starts with where you're at. If you're not willing to do that, then you really don't need to worry about the rest, because the Lord wants somebody that whenever He sends him halfway across the world, is going to do something when they get there. But don't worry about the big stuff. Just start where you're at and pray for direction and surrender There's lots you can do in the service of the king. Like that song, it says, a call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Where volunteers come from, people that surrender. People that will say, not my will, but thine be done. People that just give themselves over to God. We covered 11 different prayers or types of prayers that you might learn how to pray. And I think every one of them will benefit you. So maybe as you meditate on these things, maybe there'll be one or two that comes to the forefront. Why not make that something that you spend some time in prayer about God with, maybe even before you go to sleep tonight. Father, we thank you for this great book that you've given.